Hey, this is Addy Nett, and you are listening to
MLO.
And I got my main man, CK, helping me out with the intro. Kempers, what are we talking about today?
Addy, we're talking about five ways that home buyers mess up on getting a home mortgage.
They mess it up and we mop it up, but how can we prevent needing a Swiffer, my man?
Man, we put some great tips and tricks in there to make sure that you do not mess up the mortgage.
In all seriousness, man, there's a lot of things you can do to make the process a lot easier, and we are here to break them down for you, talk about them, and spill it out into digestible bullets.
That's right. Thank you, Addy.
Once again, my name is Addy Nett, and you are listening to
MLO.
Enjoy the show. We're a fly systems ago. Houston to CK. Could you hit the button, please?
And blast off.
Y'all know how this goes.
It's that time.
It's not your first rodeo.
Take the toast and butter it.
Butter on the toast.
A little jam on the riff.
What a great day.
I'm feeling good today. Energy's great.
Weather's nice.
I got nothing for that.
I got nothing.
Weather's nice. We got summer.
I got nothing on a follow-up.
Enjoy that beat. Enjoy that beat. Everyone, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. It's Wednesday, boys, and this is
MLO.
Yes, sir.
What are we talking about today, KC?
It's a good one. We're going to talk about the five reasons or the five things people do that can mess up your mortgage application.
And mortgage just in general.
And mortgage in general.
The whole process, man.
The whole process.
I think the big one with this guy is like, we've learned a lot of people have an experience that could have completely been a million times better, right?
100%.
People are stressed, overwhelmed. Mortgage advisors get to do this full time. That's what they get to focus on. The home buyers got family, kids, jobs. They're doing this after their whole career. So not understanding it can be stressful, overwhelming, moving, packing. So we want to cover the five ways, guys, that people mess up their freaking mortgage and make it way more harder than it needs to.
Yeah, we just want to give you the tidbits, the inside scoop, and the things to avoid.
Things to avoid.
And man, that jam. God, it's such a good jam.
Dick it down. I love that finish. All right, let's roll into the first one, guys. First one, we're going to let CK take it away, and it's actually the number one thing that stops people from buying a home. So it's not really like the experience piece of it, but it's something, it's a myth. It's the 20% down required, right? So run with that, because you were telling me in our pre-meeting that you got a story for that. And everyone's like, story time.
I do. I think that stories help, you know, bring the topic to fruition, you know. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of people think that you have to put down 20% in order to purchase. We know, we've talked about in our last episodes or previous episodes, that we have many different programs that require way less than that, anywhere from a minimum of zero down for some of our VA and our USDA clients. We also have our 3% down for our Home Ready, our Home Possible clients, and our Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Then we have our USDA that requires a minimum down of 3.5%. So we know that we have those products out there. But a lot of people will wait till they think that they have that 20% because they want to avoid that mortgage insurance. Mm-hmm. But there's so many more advantages to home purchasing.
So CK, if I'm a buyer, you're telling me I don't have to save up for 20% for my down payment?
You don't. In fact, you can use a gift. You can have funds come from a nonprofit. There's so many different ways. Once you talk to a MLO team member, that we can come up with a good strategy to get you into a home. But that was one of the biggest mistakes that you can do, is not talk to a mortgage advisor that is dedicated to getting you into a purchase this year and coming up with a game plan. You know, we talked about some other advantages would be tax advantages. You want to talk about that a little bit, Addison?
Yeah, no, that, and I don't want to forget. We did promise a story there, so we need to bring in the story.
I will.
But yeah, I will. Hang tight. We're waiting for the story time teddy bear to be brought in by our producer, Josh. So, you know, just joking. Yeah, I would say, you do your question with the tax stuff, and we have to be completely compliant in regards to we're not tax, you know, representative or licensed tax advisors, whatever you want to call
them. But there is some tax benefits. There are tax benefits. Owning,
Most you got your property taxes, something that looks back, you pay on those, and that could be a reduction on your taxable income. Some years, the mortgage insurance is even another write-off. So there's ways to actually come out at the end on top. So there's different ways to look at it, especially, too, if you're looking to convert in the long run for all those people that want to buy, rent out their place, buy another one.
Yep.
That's the big jump. Once you get a rental property as well, then you're really playing in a whole new ball game because you're essentially running a business, that investment property, which brings out another huge tax benefit side to it. But I think one of the most overlooked thoughts, guys, and going back to the story, and I think I'll just tag it with you, is, you know, there are so many people that wait just because they think they need to get the 20%, but they're not understanding because they're using online calculators. Like, we had a client that was like, oh, my mortgage insurance would be $290 per month with the calculator that they were using on Redfin or Zillow or whatever. And actually, well, not a lot of people know there's a very dynamic evaluation process on how monthly premiums are evaluated for conventional mortgage insurance. And I did the chalka for them. I ran it on six different mortgage insurance quotes. It was only $65 a month. They had 10% down and an 800 credit score, two borrowers. So it had all the compensating factors to reduce the risk for that mortgage insurance provider. So this entire time, like I'm talking years, years, they didn't want to talk to anyone, a real estate agent or a mortgage advisor, because they thought the private mortgage insurance would be 275 or 200, uppers 200s. So that's a really big thing. And then that kind of transitions in to the appreciation, guys.
Yeah.
Like, that is a big, 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 big thing, Casey.
Yeah, and it's I think, 2 points there that what you want to take into consideration when you're a home buyer, right, is one is the cost of waiting. Right. So you have the home that can appreciate and does appreciate. Those values go up. So those purchase prices can rise each year, possibly. And as you're sitting there waiting, your down payment number could be increasing because that property is now from 450 to 460 to 475, right, as we're waiting these years. So I think there's a cost of waiting that needs to be considered, right? So you're in your mind have planned a 5-year savings plan, right? But what has the real estate market done in that 5 years that you waited to save? Because now that payment you had in your mind 5 years ago might not be the same payment 5 years later on once that money's been saved. And then where Addison, you know, was touching in there, it's you have these other driving factors. If you're not getting the right information, you're looking at the wrong tools online, that's not going to help you out. So what would really help you is to talk to a MLO mortgage advisor or a very seasoned mortgage advisor that could help lay that out for you and help get those game plans and those steps in place. Because at the end of the day, you could be costing yourself money by waiting.
And well, so, right now, in fact, we have
bring it down.
Yeah, like, so we have a national average of equity growing at 4%.
It's around 4%, right? Yeah.
Perfect. So, I mean, that is the cost. Here in the Pacific Northwest, it's actually higher. Yeah. So you really look at the factors and sit down and crunch the numbers and really see what the cost is for waiting and where interest rates could be at. Right now, we know we're at, you know, low threes, sub threes on a 30-year fix. What happens when we get past this election? We're past pandemic. Economy's growing again. We're back into a better financial stability. We're going to see interest rates go up. All right. So we know that right now is such a critical time to be having these conversations, getting your game plan and getting back to what does it take? Mm-hmm. What does it take for me to get into a home today?
Yeah. So just to kind of bring it down, appreciation, just some easy numbers. So like say a $300,000 house now, if you're using the national average of 4% appreciation, that same house in a year based on that math would be $312,000. So you're going to see you can't keep up with it from a savings for most people. And unless you're Daddy Warbucks, I mean, you might be pulling it in some tech big guy, but it's really hard for families to save aggressively above just simple appreciation, which would be more like the 1-2% for domestic gross products. So it's like, man, talk to people, see your options. If anything you're going to do, if you aren't there, is work on that credit score.
That's right.
Get with a plan to get the credit, because that's a big evaluator, right, Casey?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to number two. And guys, we're really up in our game. I'm proud of ourselves. I mean, we have like notes and stuff. And
we're
like,
trying to hit you guys with real live issues, articles that people are talking about.
So. Yeah, and if you're listening to the podcast and you're not watching us live, which, you know, half our audience is split, we do have notes. I'm waving this up there. We have notes, outlines, all this stuff, and we actually take our time and talk about it. So we're always trying to get better here at MLO, right?
Yeah, and shout out to all our international podcast listeners. If you guys want to see what we look like, you can hop on Facebook Live, check us out every week.
You can check us out. You can see how pretty Casey is. And his most of his dance moves on the intro, the most entertaining piece of it all. But let's go to number two. This one's pretty big for me. Getting pre-qualified rather than pre-approved.
Wait. There's a difference?
There is a big difference, and we actually do have a couple episodes on this. I can't remember which numbers off the top of my head. But the big one on this, guys, is that's a rolling term regarding qualified versus pre-approved. And I'm not going to dive in and create an episode in an episode, but let's just use this. Pre-qualified being just a general conversation. Yeah, this is what I think. I chalked it up at it online. You know, Rocket Mortgage said this and spat it back to me, right? They might or might not have run your credit. I don't know.
I was at 750.
And called the armchair estimate, right? But a real deep dive with supporting loan documentation. You've gathered W-2s, pay stubs. You've pulled credit, obviously. You've verified all your assets used to purchase the transaction. That is one of the biggest missteps, because most people would say, like, hey, you really want to be, you know, pre-approved so that you know there's not any problems. And that's the obvious part. But one thing I've learned, I've had a lot of people come to me and they're like, you know, I worked with so-and-so mortgage and they said I was approved for 375.
Right.
Like, they really didn't analyze it. And maybe they're in a market that they need that extra $10,000 to $20,000 to get approved because they're trying to negotiate closing costs. They only have the minimum down, right? So just having a 10 to 20% increase in approval amount could be a huge difference. And a lender who might have the chops and it doesn't have 200 applications to do that day working over in the middle of nowhere in an internet company will take the time to see what we can do to maximize your approval amount. So I've had that be a big game changer. With people coming to me, they thought that they could only get qualified for X amount, and actually there was ways to expand upon that, right, Cam?
Yeah, I watched these commercials, and you know, they're all, oh, I got my rocket approval or whatever it is. What is that approval on? I mean, I have like five different options to go over with my client to maximize their purchase power and talk about different things. It cracks me up every time I see that. I'm just like, gosh, thank you for the advertisement, because this is what I want to talk about. They just send you a pre-approval. No one's calling you to talk about different programs, why this program may be better, ask you, can I see your pay stub? What is this allocation? There's so many more details involved with the pre-approval, pre-qualification. And like you said, what is the difference? The difference is me taking that time, validating all those things. And for me to give you a letter to go out and go into someone's house right now, COVID-19, you know, I'm doing my due diligence, you know, from a human aspect of making sure those people are qualified before they can go in and purchase a house. I don't want people milly-willing in someone's house that's not pre-approved. That's huge for me. I wouldn't want someone in my house. That is my job, to be a MLO.
Well, and having that pre-approval letter with the same state address from the loan officer as the property you're offering on.
Yeah.
Yeah, catering your pre-approval letter to your offer. Yeah,
when you're seeing 8 to 16 offers on houses, anything that doesn't have a zip code that's near the actual one gets freaking shoved off to the ground. I'll tell you that right now, if there are any sort of similar offer prices.
And lastly, I think on that subject is what we do with a pre-qual letter versus a pre-approval letter. Mm-hmm. When our clients make an offer, what we are doing to help our clients get an accepted offer. Those are some of the huge things or mistakes that you could make is going with the internet. Are those people picking up the phone and calling that seller and saying, gosh, I validated everything. These people are awesome. What do you need to know? What can I do to help get this offer accepted? Mm-hmm. Those are the things that we do day in, day out that, you know, you can't get with a competitor.
We're there to support you as that buyer and do whatever we can to help you get that offer accepted. And it's a big deal. But as a buyer, I mean, don't you want to know exactly where you stand with your finances before you're making the biggest purchase or one of the biggest purchases of your life? I would hope so. I would hope you'd want to know your exact numbers, because I definitely do. Online tells me I'm 750, but we run the numbers. Maybe I'm 550. I want to know that I'm 550. I don't want to look like a fool at 750 and say, well, I'm sorry, I couldn't qualify.
Yeah. I love, like, the song popped up in my head. I don't want to know. If you play a me, keep it on the low.
Because my heart.
Okay, we can't turn it into karaoke. Yeah, no. Keep it professional. Good, that was real good. Yeah. Maybe weekend practice.
Yeah.
But obviously, we're passionate about that content, and it's something here at the MLO that we make sure that our clients are fully approved. Because when you go out there and shop, we want you to go out there with confidence, knowing that you are qualified, pre-approved, that we've checked all the boxes. That way that when you're making that offer, you know that you can commit to that.
When you got someone that cares and will step up, I mean, 100%. There's certain times, like last night, you know, I was working and I had Zoom calls and whatnot till about 9 p.m. And I had a VA client of mine wanting to put in an offer. And we broke down all the spreadsheets and stuff, and I got a text. It's 9. I'm like, I'll finish up my last Zoom call, right? And it's like, hey, we really need to walk through this as the agent and the client. Can you walk through the closing costs with me? Right? I don't understand them. And it is confusing, especially on VA government loans. It's really weird how the estimate sheet all comes together. Yeah. So what it did, it was like 9, 10 p.m. I'm ready to call it. I've been up since 6 in the morning, right? So I turn on, I've got the estimate all together on one thing. I open up Zoom. And I pressed record just to my, I zoomed myself, recorded it, screen shared the whole thing. And I broke down through in my words. It was like, okay, this is the confusing part. Here we go. This column, these are uncontrollables. This is what the rate is today, blah, blah, blah. This is the cash to close. And then sent that video over to the agent and the client with the attachment, because I know, hey, it's 9 o'clock. People got kids and you know, everyone's trying to be respectful, but it's so nice that they could just view that and look through it. Okay, I feel good. I'm good. You think you're going to get an internet lender or somebody not local giving that kind of service. And you can't abuse your lender either. I mean, you want to be a little respectful. But when it comes to the crunch offer time, you got to step up. We see it here in Portland with the Trailblazers. Dame time, baby.
Got to step it up, man.
Hit that clock. Boom, boom, boom. So that's that on... Oh, buddy, was that just number two? Okay. So
know where you're at. Know if you're pre-qualified or if you're pre-approved, and the latter of the two is the way to go, believe me.
And if you don't know, give us a call and we'll get you straight.
And how do you call us?
503
VIP
9038.
VIP is actually 847. If it is tough. So
503-847.
9038.
Yeah, hit us up on that direct VIP line. If there's anything that we can do to help you guys when it comes to, let's do our we'll transition to a little break. Promo break. Shake it out. Loosen up. Casey, give me that. Because you're coming in strong for 4 or 5.
Yeah.
4 or 5,
that's just 1, 2. We're going to go 4 or 5. Casey closing out. Number 3 is going to be CK coming in hard here. But hey, if there's anything that we can do here at MLO to support you in your home buying and home selling process, please reach out to us on that VIP number. We're talking about direct message. Subscribe to that podcast. If you're not ready, no problem. Subscribe to that podcast. Give us a nice review there. That always helps us.
People are finding it super useful, guys. Those podcasts are huge. You can listen to them at your own time, at your own leisure, when you're driving around or when the kids are yelling and you're locking yourself in the bathroom for quiet time. Hit that podcast up.
Quiet time. And we'll do a quick, I'll pull out one of my favorite comments we have here. YouTube represent, WYL2K comment, YouTube represent. So throwing out, yes, we are casting all of these on YouTube, just so y'all know.
Yes, sir.
Doing a great job on that, and Joshua Billups is chalking up some great shorts for us, so we're condensing these down into educational shorts, right, guys?
That'll be huge, too.
Huge.
Couple little minutes short.
All right. I feel better.
Yeah.
Little air. All right.
So we got number three.
Number three. Let's make it a little swift, because we actually did a full episode on this particular number three.
Okay.
With Scott Kurahara, our ops manager.
That's right.
Moving money around. Gosh, that makes it really complicated. And I know on our team meeting, CK, talk to us, mortgage guru. Give us your story. Give us your whip up on moving around and how that makes it really hard. 60 seconds.
Yeah, you guys, please, just kind of listen to this little spot here. When we validate funds for your closing, we need to see those seasoned for 60 days. That means moving them from checking account to savings account, 401k to savings, then checking, you know, just there's a lot of sourcing we need to do. So we have to follow the money. So do check out that episode. Can you pawn a gold watch or gold chain for your down payment? Mm-hmm. That's a great episode to check out and just kind of see. But just be prepared. This is the type of thing that we talk about in our first conversation when you're talking to an MLO lender. And we're just deep diving into a lot of these little nits and just the little bits that will keep the clean file. Keep it clean. So, you know, with the gift letter, we don't want to see that go over to aunts, then moms, and then over to your account. We just want to get it one deposit over. It's coming from a 401k, 401b. Let's just see that go into one account, and we need to just follow those funds. But, you know, if you're selling a car, moving it, a 401k, $3,000 from here or there, that's fine. We just need to talk about all those different things and be prepared. And so we might sit down, you know, 30 days, 40 days before you're doing your purchase and come up with those game plans. So just talk to your mortgage advisor. Mm-hmm. Let's come up with the game plan of how that down payment and those assets are acquired.
Yeah. And since we've rocked that point a lot, like moving around the money creates a ton of paperwork. It needs to be trailed and paper trailed and documented and supported to the underwriter's perspective. We believe you. We're on your team. That's our job. To bring it to a more current day thing, what I'm seeing super, super often, I did 12 new applications just on Monday alone, and I'd say about 5 of the 12, I was seeing a ton of ATM withdrawals of max amount of 500. And I was having a conversation, and a big part right now is banks closing down. It's hard to have access, and they're not refilling ATMs like they used to. So there's a lot of people pulling cash out. And for the first time in my career, I'm seeing a ton of cash on hand under the assets.
Yeah.
A lot more cash. And it needs to be documented, guys. It's got to be sourced. It can't be moved around. And it makes the job very – we said at the beginning of the episode, Casey, like these are things that – make the experience much harder for the client. And that's a big one, because it just trickles down to you moving around another statement, another account statement. And now you can't really get the new qualifying statements, not necessarily online always. They got to go into the bank and get a printout that's stamped. And it's a big pain. Very, very stressful. Last thing we need, but just to throw that together.
Yeah. And I mean, with it, you know, Addy, you're touching on a good point. It's, we have to follow the money, guys. We have to follow and show where it came from, how's it going and moving around. And it just has to be done, especially with our, you know, rules and guidelines and Patriot Acts and stuff that we have to follow as lenders. So the more you move your money around, the more I'm going to ask you for stuff to show me where the money went. So you can move it around a bunch, and I'm going to come ask you for a bunch of stuff, or you can move it one time, and I'm going to ask you for one item. It really is as matter as you having a conversation and creating less work for yourself, but you don't know what you don't know, right? So you need to ask those questions to know how I should move the money. I got some clients right now, and a couple of them have been proactive about that. It's like, okay, Casey, tell me how we should, you know, consolidate this, or what's the easiest way to make this less stressful for us. And that's all we're trying to do, guys, is make it less stressful and an easy process for you. But there's stuff that just has to be done. And so your best bet is to ask first before you move your money.
Great point. I love that. Well said.
Well, and I think with that amazing comment from Carp there, I'm so proud of you.
It's come so long. I've come so far along since our episode 7.
What I love it, you know, we were talking briefly in the office, and Casey's like, oh my gosh, I re-listened to the episode way back early when we started, and you were harsh on yourself. I was like, yeah, well, we all get better at anything over time, right?
I didn't even know how to say my name on camera, so I was like,
"My name's."
Sorry, man. I'm like karaoke mode tonight. So hey, number four, I'm gonna let you take the torch over there.
Yeah, this is a big one. When you're through the process, guys, just because we've looked at everything up front and, you know, we pre-approved you, vetted you, everything, and then you guys got your offer accepted and we're going through the mortgage process and the home buying process, doesn't mean you guys can go get new debts. So what we're going to touch on here is don't look and get new lines of credit as you're going through the mortgage process, because what that's going to happen is it's going to cause a new debt to come up that we got to then ask you about. We need to know, is this something that is established? And we got to add those payments in. One thing people don't know is up front, yes, we're gonna verify all your stuff. We're going to do everything, right? So we know that they're solid up where they're buying, and then we're in the process. But at the end, guys, we're always going to take a look to see if there's new debts that popped up during the transaction that just maybe you didn't tell us about. Maybe you forgot. I mean, it happens. But at the end of the day, I've just seen it turn into nightmare situations for clients because they didn't have a conversation with me and they ended up getting we got a car, Casey, during
this.
Yeah,
tell me the most recent story. We all have got them, but give me yours, the most recent.
Yeah, I had one. It was actually years ago, and we were just packaging up this really good refinance for a client. And I mean, we're getting rid of some debts. We're just putting this person in just a much better financial position. We're just going to say rough numbers, but let's just say I was saving about $1,500 a month just by this refinance. So I'm freeing up $1,500. And it was a lot of work. There's a lot that goes into it. And we got the client all there. And here we go towards the end. We do a little credit look to make sure no new debts were there. And all of a sudden, a $1,500 a month Mercedes lease pops on there. And now all of a sudden, we don't qualify anymore. We did qualify, but we don't qualify with an extra $1,500 payment on there.
They already spent that $1,500 savings on a new vehicle?
And unfortunately, you know, the story basically went that it was something that was in place months before. He or she or whoever that person was felt like they didn't need to bring that up, and that was just something in place, and it would happen after the mortgage was done. Well, not the case, guys. If an active credit is established during the transaction before it is closed, we're going to see it. I mean, you're not going to be able to get away with stuff without us seeing it. So at the end of the day, if you can refrain yourself from getting any extra debt while you're going through that mortgage, don't let the furniture companies get you on the, you know, 3-month no payment thing. If you put it on the card, because at the end of the day, we got to factor all that stuff in before you close. So,
but Ashley's is having a closeout sale, Casey.
Yeah. And they give you VA discounts and you're not making payments and it's all great.
It's not going to hit your credit. Don't believe that, by the way. Total side note. Oh my gosh. There's so many solicitors out there really saying some not so informative, truthful things. That's the best I could do without using cuss words. I'm so,
no, that was
I saw it coming.
Jeez, yeah, no, that's good.
CK's like, here it comes, the F-bomb. No, I'm keeping it back.
Free furniture. That's the bomb.
It's not even furniture. It's like if you have a mortgage, the forbearing situation, and there's people at big banks, and I'm really trying to hold back, that are not saying truthful things to clients. And it's really going to be a problem next year, I think.
The forbearance thing is real, guys.
And it goes to other credit and stuff. So just if you can make payments and keep it going, do it. And if someone's calling you saying it won't affect your credit, that is false. Right. It will one way or another.
At the end of the day, we see every inquiry that's on the credit report, and we're going to need you to comment if there's any new debt acquired and you're signing on a line saying that there is none. So it's a...
Well, and it's like a metal detector.
Yeah. I mean,
like there's multiple TSA pre-checks to closing in the real estate. So people think, oh, I got through TSA, right? They think that's the analogy. They come to the airport, they get their bags through, they're going to their gate. But lo and behold, the last checkpoint before you get on the plane to close on your real estate, there's one more metal detector stop.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep. It knows that you took out a new loan. Yep, and you see, it's like, oh, my God.
He crashed it.
I just love your analogies.
That's a great analogy.
So on point.
And it's, at the end of the day, guys, you should just have that conversation with your loan officer. We'll keep coming back to that main point, because when you don't, honestly, we just see it go south more times than it stays positive. So
we always know it's going to come up. Just talk to your loan officer before you do anything.
Yes, keep it easy. Keep it breezy, baby.
So, wrapping it back, don't get extra credits or establish new debts when you're going through it. And if anything does happen, you tell your loan officer about it. And it's going to lead us into number five.
Oh, we got a number five.
Which is going to be, guys,
changes.
Don't change that job. Or if you do change the job, what does that entail? Because maybe you went from one career to the next. And how does that affect your approval?
So, and I don't want to extend it for a big thing. Two different ways to look at this. Changing jobs during the transaction is kind of a no-brainer. Yeah, you don't want to change your job, right? But within the transaction, some of the biggest things are changing compensation structure, right, Kemper? So there's some people that might be like on a base salary, and then they change to a commission. Oh, boss, yeah, we can change on that thing already. Go ahead. I got the accepted offer. Nuh-uh. No, sir. Like, you applied, it needs no changes. That's a totally change of circumstances.
Yeah, with your pre-approval, we pre-approved you at a certain salary, or we gone through your financials, and if you're commissioned, we've done a two-year average. So there's every income has different criteria on approval. So, yeah, changing a job from one structure to another could be detrimental to your approval process. It could mean you having to wait 2 years to purchase if you don't do it correctly.
And I think you're hitting a good point right there with the 2 years, and we'll just kind of lay that out there. There could be different, you know, factors,
everything's
right,
different.
With everything different. But check this, guys. If you're not making that type of income for 2 years, or at least we show the 2 years of base income, commission income, overtime income, whatever different type of income that is, if it's not a solid 2 years, we're going to have a heck of a time kind of showing that you have history of making that income.
So pre-contract, Casey, one of the biggest things that you and I have been working through and seeing a lot with these first conversations is people, and it's of no fault to anyone. It's a lot of what 2020 and that year has brought to America as itself is switching from W-2 to self-employed.
Yes, sir.
Out of their control. So our hearts goes out to those people who were W-2 employees, now they're self-employed, right? And maybe that's what's best for their lives, but that you got to get with the mortgage advisor, because likely your income now is not qualifying. So we might need to look at alternative ways, a partner, a non-occupying co-borrower, as a family member, things like that, to be crafty. But if you flat out are like non-2020 year conditions, there's people who just switch over and now they don't have qualifying income. Now, there's other circumstances, and this way you got to get with your lender and understand the tolerance level and the perspective of the lender's underwriters now, because it's different per company right now. Everyone's got a different threshold of tolerance of risk. So a positive reflection would be maybe say, like, I had a software engineer, self-employed for 4 years, and then took an incredible job at a very highly sought-after company. Think about one of two phone companies that you might have in your pocket. That's the one, you know, the fruit. It's Apple. Sorry, hard to hide it. But they
banana?
Went over. That's a banana? The banana four? The banana seven? No, but in all seriousness, they went from being self-employed to W-2. So there's a lot of myths out there. The people be like, oh, I switch jobs, I can't buy anymore. Literally, that stops people from applying. That's not true. That is a move into a more secure,
stable
occupation, which most of the time, unless there's something we don't know about, an underwriter and a company is going to agree with that. Right. So, man.
No, and I think you're nailing it. I mean, right there, too, the ones that I see, honestly, it's the career change. Mm-hmm. You know, I was working in the service industry, and then, you know, I became a dentist or whatever it is or a truck driver, whatever it is. We're switching careers. And at the end of the day too, I mean, you see people.
Service industry to dentist, dude.
Well, I mean, hey, they're working.
I guess
in your,
waiting tables.
I mean, waiting tables to a dentist.
That's it.
All right.
Eating good in your neighborhood. Yeah. Come on. Applebee's.
And then someone that's going to jump off because they want to get in sales because that sales game is hot, but they want the commissions, right? Well, but it's not self-employed, though. I mean, we're still a W-2 sales job. We just paid 100% commission.
I'm still laughing about Christian's Applebee comment.
Applebee. But do you have it? Because that's the biggest deal. And so you'll see People change jobs, obviously for the benefit for them. They're trying to better themselves, but sometimes that has an effect on your mortgage qualification.
Yeah, I think any kind of changes during your application process, you just need to let your loan officer know so that we can be in front of it, you know, advise you how to still achieve your goals within your goals. You know, we may have to scale back or come up with a new game plan, but you know, if you don't tell us, then you're wasting money, time, efforts, and our job is to execute and deliver the product. And that's getting you into a home and or refinance.
You're going to blindside us, you know, because you haven't told us, right? So it's not like we could have prepared for it. And that's, you know, a good point that CK is making is, guys, we've probably seen it or we've probably been through it already on a loan. So we can probably give you some good advice or at least tell you, hey, you know, we're going to wait until this point so you can do that because this is, it's better for
or
you.
Or there's a different way to do it.
Exactly. And so all that requires is you just to communicate, and that's a big thing.
Yeah. Our job here at the MLO is to be transparent, educate, and give advice, be just a partnership out there for our community to help with these questions. And these are things that could come up day to day. I don't care if you're going to do a transaction with me. I just want to help you get into a home down in the future or for you not to make some of the same mistakes myself, my clients, or, you know, anybody else
has made in the past.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, our job is just to get this information out there, give it a platform to talk about it, and that's why your questions, concerns, and anything else is so important to us here.
Yes, sir.
We want you to achieve so you can get the cheese.
That's right. Cheese!
That's five.
I like that, though.
I like it.
That's good.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. We did it. Boom.
So that's your five main mistakes that people catch themselves hung up on when trying to get through the mortgage process. And I'm glad we made it through all five.
Yeah, we did a great job. I think we got some information that's going to get out there to our clients, our community, that's going to help achieve their goals, and just another great episode.
Yeah, and I think five's way better than 10.
Yeah, no more 10s.
10 was like...
I'm sorry, folks.
Bring a pack of lunch. Bring a sweatband. You're in it.
We made it, though.
You need like an oxygen tank for 10. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for chiming into this episode of
MLO.
And feel free, if you want to listen to any of our episodes on your phone, on your tablet, whatever, hit us up on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you grab your podcast. And if you're on the flip side, you know, you want to see us, you want to watch the vids, see the comments, check us out on
Facebook. See Casey's dance moves.
That's Casey's right. Got some good shaking bakers. You got any little spinners for us at the end here?
I got nothing.
Like and subscribe us.
Yeah, we really appreciate that, guys.
If you like and subscribe us, you'll see our next episode on YouTube. So keep checking us out.
Keep checking us out. We're here to serve. We're here to continue with the apps. I believe this is our 30th live episode. 3-0.
Dude, the dirty 30. Dirty 30.
We'll have to do something special for 5-0.
I'm doing the damn.
Boom. Bring it. Hit us up, guys. We are here to help you. Once again, wrapping it on the end. I'm going to do a wraparound on the banners. Christian, why do you say goodbye is why I throw up your NMLS on the screen.
CK saying peace out there. Hit me up. DM me. Let me know how I can help.
Yeah, man. Casey.
Always here for your back. All my buyers, all my VA buyers out there. Hit me up.
Oh, yeah, and of course, I am your host, Addie Nett, and you guys have been listening to
MLO.
Until next time, we'll catch you later.